Now back to the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
We're getting mafioso here at the Butcher Shop. It's a Mac Dre Friday. 888-957-9570. I'm Joe Shasky. This is the Butcher Shop. We're the number one rated sports station in the Bay Area, 95.7 The Game. San Francisco Giants fans, Bryce Harper, are we sick and tired of waiting for this guy? Is that why you're not as excited as I am? Are you ready to lay this red carpet out for this guy? What is the threshold? Where are you going to be with this? And we're definitely going to talk some Warriors. We're going to talk high school basketball because tonight, a lot of playoffs, CCS going on tonight. Shout out St. Cecilia's champions, eighth grade. But let's go to Amelia in South City. Amelia, what do you got on Bryce Harper? 888-957-9570. Get in line, everyone. Amelia, step right up.
Hey, what up, man? Hey, I would love to see Bryce Harper in San Francisco. But why is he going to spend so much money on?
That was a great call. I mean, that's Hall of Fame call right there. Love that. And I think I know what he's saying. Butcher, you're awesome. You're right. We need Bryce Harper. You should get a pay raise, you know, all of those things. And yeah, put Bryce Harper in the Bay so he can hit the ball into McCovey Cove, a.k.a. Bryce Harper. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. Steve, step right up, no waiting, and get in line. 888-957-9570. What do you got, Steve?
I love the energy. I love the enthusiasm. But, man, you're talking to the wrong guy. You got to go after Manny.
Okay.
Manny's got better stats, same age, better hitter. That's where you put the money. That's where you're the world carpet at. That's where you got to go. Go for Manny.
Steve, can I ask you a question? Stay there. What do you do with Brandon Crawford then? I love this idea of Manny Machado. I like him. I know a lot of people think he's a punk. I love him. I'd love to have him on my team. I think he has the higher ceiling. Where do you put Brandon Crawford?
I mean, that's a problem. That's a great problem to have, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Can't you move him to a number of different positions? So, I mean, really, what you're really doing is getting the stronger player. If you're going to break the nut on the best product out there, and that's Manny. What you do with Crawford is a lot of options. He'll be good wherever you put him. But you don't want another outfielder hits 250. The man hit 250 last year. Come on now.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But he hits 27 home runs a year. That's the average. That's the high water mark since Bonds retired. 1 year of 27 home runs at 100 pence before he turned back into a pumpkin. And get in line, 888-957-9570. Tell me why you're not excited about Bryce coming here. There was a guy, Rick Russell, who went on Philadelphia radio and basically said all his sources are indicating, I don't know why I keep saying Rick Russell. This is why I'm a hack. But he was basically saying that Bryce Harper is coming to the Giants.
Bryce has pretty much come to his decision, and if not completely come to his decision, and now it's just a matter of, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and getting everything in line that is required to execute a contract and a signing and a decision of this magnitude.
So that happened this morning, and basically now Philadelphia, because they realize they're going to be the bridesmaids and not the brides, this is what they're thinking. Howard Eskin, Philadelphia legend.
Hey, you can have him. I'm going to have Machado. You can have Harper. I'll take Machado.
Hey, it's Tiger.
I'll take Bryce Harper. Giants fans will sign up for him. I'll take him. All day I'll take him. I will take him. You know why Philly doesn't want him? Because they're not going to be chosen. We're going to be the one chosen. It's like The Bachelor. We're getting the red rose at the end. Isn't that how it works? I don't know. I don't really watch The Bachelor. Neither does my wife. We watch Love and Hip Hop, to be totally frank. I think that's more of a train wreck show, and I actually enjoy it more. There's more storylines. 888-957-9570. And Warrior fans, we're going to get to you. I got Warriors love and hate about 8 o'clock. Okay, we're going to talk about the All-Star game, talk about where this team's at right now. But let's go to Jimmy in San Mateo. Giants fans, tell me, what is the threshold from one fan to another? Make the argument why we don't need Bryce Harper. Jimmy, what do you got?
Diehard Giants fan. Hands down, the best sandwich I ever had at the Butcher Shop, and now you're gone. That was the best.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate that.
But the bottom line, I got a question for you. Maybe you can answer, but Bryce Harper is a must. It was a Barry Bonds thing. Now we're going to make another splash this year. You have to do it. It's a must. And, you know, we got two outfielders now that are better than the three we had. Now we get a real good outfielder, and I still like to squeeze. Is Andrew Jones still out there?
Andrew Jones?
Adam Jones.
Oh, Adam Jones is definitely still available. Yeah, and if you get Harper, I'd love Andrew Jones, Jimmy.
I take Andrew Jones over the three outfielders. Hey, but I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Now why is this just money moving? How does Parra just get a minor league contract and not a regular contract? He's not that. I mean, he still has the ability to play like a fourth outfielder, sometimes a three. But how does that work? Where we sign him to a minor league deal instead of a, you know,
I don't know.
Giving him two, three.
Jimmy, I don't know out loud, but let me ask you this. I mean, don't you think he's going to beat out Mac Williamson? I mean, come on. Come on.
Oh, Parra?
Yes.
Oh, no, no. What I'm saying is, you know, usually you sign a free agent, you pay him $2, $3 million a year or whatever.
Yeah.
But we signed him to a minor league contract. It must be something where we didn't want to hurt the 40 man, but he's still going to get his money.
Yeah.
But just there's got to be a reason why he did not get a regular contract. I just don't know that part of the game.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy, I'm not sure, and I'm going to have to do my investigation. If I told you, I'd be lying, and I don't like to do that. You know, a lot of people come on here and they pontificate with lies and speculation. I'm just not going to do that. Not going to do that. But I'll find out for you. And I do like the Parra signing. He might have the best outfield arm the Giants have had since Melky Cabrera was popped for steroids, putting that illegal fake website that Andrew Baggerly caught him with. Remember that? How about that? 888-957-9570. Are you guys not excited because this is taking a little longer than expected? Don't the best things kind of have a little bit of a wait? You ever been through like a birth of a child? It's not like a 2-minute thing. Just, hey, the kid popped out. We were good to go. Like, nah, there's usually some labor pains. It takes some time. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Gene, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on Bryce Harper?
Well, first of all, yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know what? I mean, I'm an A's fan, first and foremost, but you guys have got me all excited about this. I definitely go Harper, definitely not Machado. The previous caller, I mean, I don't know if you watched the World Series, but Machado was horrible. Hit 182, made all kinds of mistakes. Look, at Harper is about where Bonds was at this stage in his career. This guy's got a tremendous upside. Give him 350 over 10 years. 10 years from now, unless the president turns this into a third world country, is going to be chump change anyway. So go after Harper.
Agreed. When I bought my house in San Francisco almost 6 years ago, and I pray every day, thank God I did it. But when I did, I paid a price tag that people looked at me like, you paid that much? Dude, in 6 years, my house has doubled. All right. And the price that I got in at isn't anywhere near what the price is today for that same type of a home in the same type of the neighborhood. And believe me, I don't live in, you know, San Francis Woods or the Marina or anything. I'm on Alamany, all right? But my point being is that the price tag you signed Bryce Harper at now, with inflation and everything rising, the price point is going to be relatively fair market value 2, 3, 4 years from now, if there isn't a baseball strike. 888-957-9570. And we're getting people from the 925. You're getting a little Harper fatigue. I hear you. And I will talk about some of the other free agents that I'd like signed. I'd go after Craig Kimbrell. Why not? You need a closer. Are you guys completely 100% all around Will Smith, a left-handed closer? I don't know. Are you willing to spend money again on a closer after you basically bought a lemon and Mark Melanson? I'd be a little nervous, but I'd be all in. I'm trying to get all in. Whatever I can do to entice everyone for right now. Because right now, you're terrible and you're boring. Make me lean forward. Make me want to care again. Giants fans, do you care? Let's go to Dre in Central Cali. Dre, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on Bryce?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. That was a good interview you had with that guy from Philadelphia. I like the way you stuck that little dig on him. That was one of my favorite San Francisco home runs of all time when Uribe hit that one field wall.
Thumbs up.
I was jumping up and down.
When he threw his thumbs up and he hit a ball right down the right field line, wasn't that the greatest?
It was the greatest. It was the greatest. And then the big lefty out with that third strike.
Ryan Howard.
And he
didn't even get the bat off his shoulders.
Oh, my God. Howard was a monster then. I was scared. I was like, you know, we're not going. But we went. Won it all. It was a good thing.
What do you got on Bryce?
Happen again.
What do you got on Bryce, though? I'm curious. Do you want Bryce?
Of course I want Bryce.
What's your price tag?
We, we have my expectations. I would pay for Bryce. I'd pay at least $300 million,
Woo!
10 years.
Woo! Wow.
At least. Hey, the Giants got the money to spend. You know they've got this money to spend. They get that in merchandising.
Thank
Don't
you.
Don't let them fool you.
Thank you.
Don't let them. Hey, and one other thing.
Yes, sir.
I just like what you said about Kimbrel. Melanson, hey, that happens every now and then. But, yeah, we need a closer. We need as much as we can get. That guy said Andrew Jones, it's not my money. Let's spend it. The Giants have the money. That stadium's always selling out. Butcher boy, give us a winner.
I agree.
Spend money and give us a winner.
Great call, Dre. Love it. Central Cali, Dre. Love it. I agree with them. Look at what the blueprint was for Cleveland, for the Yankees, even the Red Sox, although I would say that they're not in the same class as these teams when it comes to bullpens, and the Oakland A's. When you have a slew, a plethora, as we would say, of arms that you can throw at a team, it gives you options. And when you play every single day, not everyone's going to be available depending on the situation from the night before or the workload from that week. And no, we're not talking about load management with LeBron James. Like, look at what the A's blueprint was. Trevino, Trinan, Familia. Like, any one of those guys could have closed games. And I know it's Adam Jones, not Andrew Jones. No, I don't want Andrew Jones and Ryan Klesko and Ron Gant. You know, they're all free agents. No, none of those. Yes, it's Adam Jones from Baltimore. And 888-957-9570. We do have Warrior content coming, I promise. All-star talk. But Bryce Harper, what's the threshold, Giants fans? It seems like to me, most fans don't care the length or the amount of money that the Giants need to put out there to lure this guy into the black and orange. And he's already said that he's made his decision. He is ready, and they claim the decision has been made.
Bryce has pretty much come to his decision, and if not completely come to his decision, and now it's just a matter of, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and getting everything in line that is required to execute a contract and a signing and a decision of this magnitude.
And what I say to that is,
and I'm going to go all in.
I'm going all in. Let's go, Bryce. Let's do it. And yeah, we got love, hate. What put your loves, what put your hates from the Warriors season coming up in about an hour? Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. Nick, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on Bryce Harper?
Hey, man, give me some Bryce Harper, because you know back in the day when guys used to, like, court women and other women be sitting around and you're sipping tea and they're monitoring your every move. I don't care if you got to send his wife a fur coat, man. You know what I'm saying? Sign this guy. And I'm thinking Bryce Harper told the Giants, hey, man, sign a couple guys, show me you're going to put a couple of people around me, and then I'm going to sign with you guys. So maybe that's why we're making these little moves like that. What do you think, man?
I think it's exactly it. They have contingency plans, but I also think that the Giants quietly – they know they got Bryce Harper in the bag. And I think that this Parra deal and the Solarte deal, I think those are key indicators that this team thinks that they can lure Bryce Harper here and maybe put a Band-Aid on this thing and at least be competitive enough come July. Maybe they're in the wild card hunt. Now, that might seem like a stretch given the backdrop of the last two seasons, but this is the opportunity you're in right now. In 92, when the Giants were awful, they lost 92 games. They just plugged in Barry Bonds. And I know Barry was a better player overall than Bryce. But they plugged him in, and they won 103 games the next year. No, I'm not saying this team's going to win 100 games this year. I'm not delusional. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. You're a fan like I am. You've watched every inning. They were awful last year. But you're telling me you throw Bryce Harper in here, you get a better year out of Evan Longoria. I'm not even saying vintage Evan Longoria, just a better year. Don't strike out 1,000 times and have 14 errors at third. Don't get outplayed by Pablo. And if Buster actually plays the whole year and doesn't have hip surgery, I think this team can hover near 500. And wouldn't that be a giant step back in the right direction? So then year one of Bryce is a massive success. And then year two, you start to clear the deck of all this dead money you have. Maybe you can move or offload a Jeff Samardzija or a Belt or even a Longoria. Winning isn't that far away. It's not. 957-95 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. And 510, it's every day, bro. It is every day, especially on a Friday. That's an inside joke back in the day. Hashtag Trainwreck Townie. And then from the 831, this is a huge opportunity for the Giants to go all in for a huge return. The Warriors are coming to San Francisco, and if the Giants start winning, the return SF could be huge. And I agree. This is their opportunity. This is their time to strike. The time is now. It's not waiting till everything cultivates. It might not be ready. We just assume that the minor leagues are just going to start pumping players out. Like, eh. The Marlins have done that how many times since 2003? They've reset their organization time and time and time again. Oh, the Devil Rays do it right. They've built up the farm, and they never win. They never win. Even Philadelphia, they've been losing for 9 years. 9 years since the Giants knocked them out in the playoffs. You want to wait 9 years to get good again? To finally break 500? Like, you bring Bryce in here, I think instantly you get credibility. Instantly this team gets better around him. And from the 510, the Chilton Auto Body text line, why isn't anyone talking about Harper and Machado? Sign both of them. Chase Center is going to take over Mission Bay. Sign them. I'm all in on that. I'm all in on that, and that gives me flexibility to move a Brandon Crawford maybe to third base, maybe to second base. Maybe Machado goes over to third base. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe you move Longoria. Again, I get it. The team is dreadful and awful, but you got to start somewhere to take a big step forward. And a big step forward would at least get you out of the cellar, because right now you're looking up at the Padres. I mean, say that out loud. You're looking up at the Padres in the division. Name four Padres. That's a game I've been playing all offseason. Yeah, name them. Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, and that's it. Because no one else can name any Padres. And if they sign Machado or Harper before you do, Giants, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. But I'm telling you, the Giants are not that far away. And people, oh, it'd be a waste of money. You're not going to be 40 games better. Blah, blah. No, but maybe you're 10 games better. All right? Maybe you're 10 games better. And instead of losing 87 games, you only lose 81 games. And you go 81 and 81. 500 would be a huge step forward. A huge step forward. And the 510 keeps asking. It's funny how every single team thinks they're the ones who are going to sign him. No, Philadelphia got told this morning they're not signing him. Hence why they are bitter. And someone like Howard Eskin, a Philadelphia media icon, is basically out on Bryce Harper. When Howard Eskin is saying this, it speaks volumes.
Hey, you can have him. I'd have Machado. You can have Harper. I'll take Machado.
I'll take Harper. Sign me up. Let's go. Let's do it. And from the 510, the A's should shock the world and sign both those guys. Put the shovel in the ground before you start worrying about free agents that cost $300 million. I mean, come on. Let's deal in reality.
Can't do it.
Come on. Let's deal in reality. And you have the better team. The more exciting team with the more compelling players. The A's are going to be awesome this year. I don't know if they're going to be better than the Astros. Love Chapman. Love Olsen. But get real. Let's deal in reality. They're not signing one of these. Now, I was wrong when they got Cespedes. But that was like 7-8 years ago, and $200 million less than whatever that would be. Is Tyson Ross still on the Padres? If not, I cannot name another player. No, he's not, I don't think. Tyson Ross, he was like a three-time A, three-time Padre. I think a Cal product. Okay, so here we go from the 707, agreeing with me on Longoria. Again, I'm not a huge Longoria fan. But I do think the guy is better than what he did last year. He had 16 home runs last year, and he missed almost 2 months. I think a bounce back is feasible. And with Posey here and Harper maybe coming, it helps balance out the lineup. Absolutely. One guy in baseball does make a big difference for the lineup and the pitch selection the guy in front of him, the guy behind him sees. It makes a huge difference. And yes, the Dodgers are the cream of the crop. The Dodgers are definitely the team everyone's gunning for. But look at Arizona. They just got rid of their best player. If you were looking at homegrown Arizona Diamondbacks in the NL West, Paul Goldschmidt, I would argue, is the greatest homegrown Arizona Diamondback they've ever had. And they just dealt him to St. Louis for some guys you never heard of. So they're out. All right, just cross them off. They're off the list. They don't know what they're doing. The Padres, again, name a couple Padres I dare you. I challenge anyone. 888-957-9570. Name a multiple Padres. Just name them. I dare you. You can't. No one can. I'm a diehard baseball fan. I can barely name five. And then the Colorado Rockies, they're playing this weird footsie game with Nolan Arenado. We kind of like it, but we're not sure if we want to go all in and give you $200 million or completely rebuild again for the 88th time since being born in 1994. Like, the Giants aren't in that bad of a position. Yes, they super stink. But it's not like the division is the AL East. It's not like you got Red Sox and the Yankees and no hope after that. Yes, the Dodgers are great. I'm not debating it. They're probably going to win the NL West for the sixth straight time. But they have gone late in the year every single year. At some point, that's got to end. JD Martinez is better than Goldschmidt. I disagree. And JD Martinez was in Detroit before he was in Arizona. He's not a homegrown Arizona Diamondback, essentially. He played in multiple places. Goldschmidt's like one of their longest tenured players. Brandon Webb would have been an acceptable answer. If you guys remember him, the starting pitcher, he was very good. But I'm telling you, the Giants aren't that far away. 888-957-9570. We got some Warriors in Charlotte for All-Star Weekend. What's your favorite Warrior All-Star Weekend moment? From the dog days. Not now. Not the now. The dog days. The Depression era Warriors. And we got love it or hate it. Butcher Shop style. Warriors edition. This is the Butcher Shop's 95.7 The Game. Stay on hold. 888-957-9570. We will dig in. I want to know, what are your Warrior moments from All-Star Weekend? Not now that we're great. I want the old school throwback moments. It's the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Yes. Jay-Z, baby. And UGK, Underground Kings. This was a slapper. Pimp C. I gotta say, this is the Butcher Shop. I'm Joe Shasky. It's Friday night. Big three-day weekend for most people. But in the NBA, it's All-Star Weekend, y'all. All-Star Weekend. Steph Curry going to Charlotte. Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. Spoiled Warrior fans everywhere that are a little younger, or maybe they just hopped on the bandwagon. That's fine. There's room for everyone. We need to sell out Chase Center. We need to find a way to get over that luxury tax so we can pay for everyone. But I remember back in the day, as an old school, diehard, Depression era Warrior fan. And when I mean Depression era, I mean we ain't even sniffing the playoffs. I'm talking 19 win seasons in 2001. I'm talking 21 win seasons. I'm talking Matt Steinmetz on the beat. You know, that's Depression era Warriors. Steinmetz, how you doing? Oh, the Warriors suck. They're no good. That kind of old school Warriors fandom. And when I think of All-Star Weekend, I remember we had no All-Stars from 97 to 2013. Almost seems impossible. It almost seems impossible. And I'm curious what the fans, the diehard Warrior fans that have been following this organization for years upon years upon years, what are your favorite moments from All-Star Weekend when the team sucked? 888-957-9570. I'm going to give you some of mine. And my first one, it isn't even a Warrior one. It's an Oracle Arena one, 2000. Oakland hosts All-Star Weekend. And I'll never forget, I saw the greatest individual dunk contest I've ever seen in my life, because Vince Carter's first round of dunking, in my opinion, is the greatest dunking I've ever seen, ever. It's undefeated, never lost, can never be beat. I don't care what anyone says.
I'm undefeated. Never lost.
Vince Carter, if you watch it on YouTube, if you watch that dunk contest, Vince Carter, from the beginning, the first round on, he did some of the sickest, most original, creative dunks I've ever seen in my life. And I know Jason Richardson would do some things that I absolutely love. They were very different dunkers. Vince was a one-footed dunker, like Jordan. And Vince guys had the long arms. He was throwing the ball off the side of the backboard. And he nailed all the dunks on the first try, which to me makes it way more impressive. It makes it way more impressive. What are some of your Depression era Warrior All-Star Weekend memories? Is it Jay Rich in the dunk contest? Is it the rookie sophomore challenge? Oh, I'm going to get to that. But first, let's go to Fillmore Mike. Fillmore Mike, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on the Warriors and All-Star Weekend?
Hey, man, you have funny because I be calling Steiny and I be like, Steiny, I really appreciate your opinion, bro, because I remember when they used to ask how the Warriors, and Steiny used to say, sound exactly how you sound. I'd be like, what do you mean? They suck. I mean, look, we're 21 games, you know, we won 21 games. What do you want me to say? But anyway, some of my favorite Warrior moments was when Gilbert Arenas, Jay Rich, and Monte Ellis was in, like, the rookie games or the second-year game. And I think I want to say Gilbert Arenas won it 1 year, and I think Monte Ellis won it 1 year. And, of course, Jay Rich in the dunk contest.
Absolutely.
Horrible.
Absolutely.
But I remember looking at, I mean, those players in particular getting a chance to, you know, we didn't have no All-Stars, so Saturday night we had to watch. Those were our little All-Stars, so crazy how far we've come.
Was it, Fillmore Mike, was it Jay Rich who threw the ball off Carlos Boozer's face in a Frosh soft game? Was that him?
I can't remember. I think so, though.
Wasn't it a Warrior? Was it Hibachi, Agent Zero, or was it Jay Rich?
I think it was Jay Rich.
You remember that, though, right?
I do. Who won the MVPs? And if that happened, if Jay Rich did that or not.
So I already got it right here because it's on my notes. And thank you, Fillmore Rich. Monte Ellis definitely won an MVP. Which year was that, Nash? Give it to me. What? He kicked the ball. No, I'm talking about the one where Jay Rich threw it off someone's face. But in 2002, Jay Rich was the rookie sophomore challenge MVP. And that same year, Jason Richardson, number 23, before Draymond Green.
We got the bounce.
What is it?
Jason Richardson threw the ball off Carlos Boozer's head.
Did I not say that off the top of my head earlier? Oh, my gosh. Well, in 2002, Jay Rich wins the dunk contest. And from the text line, I got to go straight to the text line here. Favorite Warrior All-Star Weekend moment was the 2002 Slam Dunk Contest, Jason Richardson's first win of his back-to-back dunk titles. The setting, I was in ninth grade, 2003. Jason Richardson was my favorite player. He needed a 49 or more to beat Desmond Mason. Wow, that's a name. Seattle Supersonics, Desmond Mason, in the dunk contest. And then throws down a crazy baseline reverse between the legs, left-handed jam. I went ham, crazy on the couch. From the moment that happened, Jay Rich was my favorite player ever. And he was so sad in 07 when he got traded. I think he was traded for Brandon Wright, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, like Monte Ellis, he's always going to be a Warrior. And I agree with him. That those moments, Jason Richardson dunk contest, he's as great as Dominique Wilkins was as a two-footed dunker. I will take Jason Richardson over Dominique Wilkins. And I know that sounds like slander. I think Dominique was by far the better overall basketball player, but as far as dunker, and if I'm not mistaken, in like 04 or 05, Jay Rich did the best dunk in that entire dunk contest in the first round and ended up losing later on. I forget which. I think it was when he threw it off the backboard and went between the legs. And if I'm wrong, get in there, 888-957-9570. Some of my favorite moments. I already brought it up. When Oakland hosted the Vince Carter dunk contest in 2000. 2002, Jay Rich wins his first dunk contest, the first of back-to-back. But in that same weekend, he wins the rookie sophomore MVP. The following year, Agent Zero, a.k.a. Hibachi, a.k.a. the South City Cruiser, because remember, Gilbert Arenas got caught with a firearm underneath the car in South City, San Francisco. Gilbert, he wins the MVP in the rookie sophomore challenge. We had nothing. The Warriors literally had nothing on All-Star Weekend for over a decade. And it was absolutely awful. And from the 510, I know what you mean about the Depression-era Warriors. In 2007, I went to a Valentine's game where they had buy one, get one free. They were literally begging people to come. Unbelievable. And yes, everyone's saying it was Jason Richardson who bounced the ball off Boozer's head. Ugh. And he sure did. And here we go, 5-1-0. Off the glass, between the legs, in 05, Jay Rich. You're right, Butcher Boy. I think it was in the first round. And I said, they should just end the contest right now. I know it's on YouTube, but that to me was one of the greatest, most creative, original dunks you could possibly do. And this is why, like, tomorrow night, like, who do we got going tomorrow night, Nash? Who's in this dunk contest? I'm looking here. Who do we got in this dunk contest? Well, I'm looking at the three-point shootout. Who's in the dunk contest, Joe? Who do we got? Dennis Smith Jr.?
Dunk contest. This year we got Dennis Smith Jr., John Collins. I'll have to double-check the other ones, but nobody eye-popping.
Ugh. Hey, come on. And this is one reason why I get frustrated with LeBron. I wish he would have done the dunk contest early in his career. Just to see it. And yes, we're going to talk about LeBron James weighing almost 300 pounds. And Brian Windhorst, of all people, calling out LeBron James for being too heavy. Irony. Do you guys find that funny? Hello? Yeah. Brian Windhorst. Hello? The kettle? Hello? Meets the pot. And what do you got on the list for the dunk contest? Give it to me.
Rookie Miles Bridges, who plays for Charlotte, you know, our boy from Michigan State. John Collins.
Wait. Who was the first guy? 1 second. Say that again.
Miles Bridges from Charlotte.
No.
Who's the second guy?
John Collins from the Hawks, second year.
No.
Dennis Smith Jr., the New York Knicks.
No.
Hamidi Diallo for the Thunder. You know the guy 2 years ago? He literally was about to get drafted after never playing a minute for Kentucky just because of his athleticism.
No.
And remember on the Suns a couple years ago? That dude, Derek Jones Jr., nobody ever heard of him, and he was in the dunk contest.
No.
No, I don't care, nor no one cares about any of those people. I mean, are you kidding me? And the text line is just flowing in with Warrior dunk contest stuff. They were some of the best standout dunks of all time. Completely agree. And if you look at some, like the Dwight Howard one was so whack, I'm going to put on a cape and jump over a Kia or jump over a teammate. I forget who he did. Who did he jump over? Was it Nate Robinson and him going one-on-one? Garbage. Jay Rich should have won 3 out of 4, whatever it was. Was it? Okay, Blake Griffin jumped over the Kia. Yeah, that was weak. Blake Griffin. It's the only thing he's done in his NBA career since. 888-957-9570. If we fast forward, I remember literally shedding a tear because David West was selected to an All-Star game. David West, it's David Lee. David Lee, David West. What am I doing? David Lee. Can you believe that? He was the one to break the curse. All the great Warrior players they had. It wasn't Vontigo Cummings. It wasn't Mike Dunleavy Jr., Troy Murphy. No.
David West also sparked the dynasty. He got benched for Draymond, and the death lineup was invented.
Absolutely, because the Mark Jackson.
And I'm going to go all in.
On the death lineup. So, yeah, it's just the 707. The Chilton Auto Body text line. Oh, boy. Is it any coincidence the Depression-era Warriors had Steiny on the beat? I don't know about that. I definitely don't know about that. Man, I'm telling you guys. I miss those era. Those era Warriors. Sprewell was so awesome. Sprewell was so awesome. He was my favorite player. I love Spree for three. Got it. And when he was a Warrior, there was somebody you cared about. And then the PJ Carlissimo choke out. And then they ended up suspending him for the entire year. And then they trade him to the Knicks. I think it was the locked out shortened season 98. And they end up going to the finals or whatever, the New York Knicks. Just absolutely brutal. What are your Warrior moments for the All-Star game? When you think about it, like Steph Curry, 2015, winning the three-point contest in New York. I think it was the same year he dropped 50 in Madison Square Garden. That was pretty special. Pretty special. I'm glad Steph has a three-point shooting title, even though it's like meaningless. It is cool that he has one. Because one of the most iconic moments in NBA history is Larry Bird not taking off his shooting jersey and telling everybody, it's over, I'm about to win this one. I mean, it's just, I look at, from like 97 to 2013, literally it's Jay Rich winning dunk contests and Gilbert Arenas and Jay Rich and Monte Ellis in the rookie sophomore challenges. And then in 2017, after they've already won multiple titles, or I guess they've won already one title, going for their second. The Warriors are the eighth team ever in NBA history to have eight All-Stars. Eight. You mean four All-Stars. To have four All-Stars. It's incredible. It really is incredible. And I bet if you went back, a lot of those other prior teams to have four All-Stars probably came when there was a lot less teams in the league. 888-957-9570. And I'm not, I love Steiny, by the way. I hope you guys know. He has street cred with me. I mean, if you could hang with Don Nelson drinking beers in press conferences.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, Steiny, it does. We love you. I do want Steph versus Clay, a shooting contest, volume 1 and 2. Yes, from the 415. Absolutely. Oh, here's my favorite one. See, back when Ahmad Rashad would do the Saturday version, I forget what it was called. It had something to do with school, stay in school, stick to school, whatever the NBA little TV package, they would have all the mascots do dunks and things like that. And from the 510, Thunder was holding it down for us Depression era Warrior fans. Who's the Phoenix Gorilla? What's his name? Gorilla Rilla? What's his deal? Nash. What? Oh, he's got to look it up. You call yourself a Phoenix Suns fan.
It's literally the most irrelevant thing in sports, a gorilla as a mascot.
You ask Warrior fans what the mascot name is, they remember Thunder. Thunder was sick, and then when the OKC Thunder came in, we had to retire the mascot. We had to retire the mascot. 888-957-9570.
His name's literally The Gorilla.
Oh, it's The Gorilla. That's very original. Very original. I love it.
38 years as the mascot.
So when you look at this All-Star game in Charlotte, where Steph kind of goes home, he's going to be in this three-point shootout against his brother. That's pretty cool. I actually enjoy watching Seth and Steph go at it the other night with Portland. But here are your contestants for the three-point shootout. Devin Booker, the defending champion. Shout out Nasher, my producer tonight. Seth Curry, Trailblazers. The brother, the little bro of Stephen Curry. And is Seth Curry, he made an announcement. He is getting married to Doc Rivers' daughter. What a small world. I mean, crazy. Crazy. Then you got Danny Green of the Raptors, who I can't stand, but yeah, he deserves to be there. Joe Harris of the Nets. Buddy Hield from the Kings, traded for DeMarcus Cousins. Damian Lillard, Trailblazers. The Trailblazers got two guys. And then you got Chris Middleton from the Bucks. Dirk Nowitzki from the Mavericks. I'm glad they threw him in there. And then Kemba Walker for the Hornets. How's Klay Thompson not in this? I don't care what his shooting percentage is every single year. Can you please get Klay Thompson into the three-point shooting contest every single time? It's ridiculous. And yes, they did have mascot dunks. And yes, 1 year Thunder did win it. We're going to have to look at it. And yes, RIP Thunder. Agreed. The actor passed away who played the mascot Thunder recently. Isn't Quackenbush on the Padres? Not sure. It used to be a chicken. I remember it was the San Diego Chicken. 888-957-9570. Does this All-Star weekend still do it for you? I mean, is this just old hat? Are Warrior fans already over it? I mean, we got three All-Stars. Kevin Durant going to be teamed up with LeBron James. You got, on the opposite side, Giannis selecting Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. I'm interested for it. I'm interested for it. And I have to say, LeBron, the GM in the NBA, is awful. He's absolutely awful. LeBron, the GM for All-Star games, tampering wizard. He's a genius. Absolute genius. And yes, I would like to see LeBron step on a scale just to shut up Brian Windhorst. Let's go to Mateo in San Francisco, in Frisco. And yes, that's an appropriate name as someone who's from the 415. Mateo, step right up. No waiting. What do you got?
Butcher boy, what it do?
What's up, bro?
Hey, I'm going to throw it back to 1994. My man from Oakland, out of UNLV, J.R. Ryder,
oh.
One of the best dunkers out there.
Is this Mateo who I think it is?
Hey, standing 6'4", weighing 215. Hey, Dwight Howard, get out of here, man. You 7 feet tall, garbage, man. Tell me about J.R. Ryder, Joe.
I love it. Mateo, great call. Yes, J.R. Ryder was an East Bay original. Used to hang out with Gary Payton. There's a famous Too Short song. I smokes big with Ryder and Gary Payton. Very famous song. J.R. Ryder, East Bay legend. Used to hang out with all the rappers. Drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Famously dragged off the court by his mama. J.R. Ryder was one of the baddest dunkers of all time. It was him. It was Baby Jordan. Was it Harold Miner? Guys, was it Harold Miner? Yeah, I think that's who it was. And yes, J.R. Ryder was one of the sickest dunkers of all time. Number 34. Ended up, I think, getting stashed away on the Lakers when it was all said and done. But yes, J.R. Ryder, East Bay legend, absolute stud. Oh, so it sounds like Clay opted out to allow Seth to be in. Interesting. Interesting. I agree, 707. This could be an all-time three-point shootout. I mean, if you look at these names, Devin Booker he's unreal in these types of events. Steph's unreal. You got to give love to Danny Green, even though I can't stand the guy. Seth going up against his bro. Buddy Hield, he strokes it. I'll give it to him. Dirk Nowitzki, all-timer. And yes, Harold Miner was Baby Jordan. And then Kemba don't do it for me. But I know he's earned his spot. He just don't do it for me. That's just me. Oh, I guess Clay is on LeBron's team. For some reason, I thought he was on Steph's team. How about Clay guarding Steph? Do we get to see that? You think we'll get to see that? Be interesting. I'm all in for that. I'm definitely all in for that. And at the top of this hour, we're going to do Warriors love and hate. What I loved, what I hated from this particular Warriors season. And from my own personal text line, J.R. Ryder not only won dunk contests, but I think he did a little kidnapping as well. I think we might have to search that. I think he's right. Shout out, Pecan. I think he's right. And Oakland's own Damian Lillard in that three-point contest. I have to say, I know Dame has a lot of animosity toward the Warriors, especially on social media. You got to love Damian Lillard, though, right? I know he doesn't play any defense, but as a fan of the NBA, as someone who loves to see others compete and play with fire, I love Damian Lillard. I love that he's undersized. He just goes out there, gives his all. I know he's not the greatest passer. He's not the greatest defender, but he's a damn good NBA player. And I just enjoy watching him play. And I'm all in on a Portland Warriors, even though it's not a rivalry per se, they do seem to get chippy. And I love how chippy they were getting. Collins the other night. Whew. I know Aminu can always get under the Warriors' skin for some reason. I don't know why. And Evan Turner always seems to get under our skin. 888-957-9570. If you got any thoughts on All-Star Weekend, I don't care about the dunk contest anymore. Again, go back and YouTube the greatest dunk contest of all time. It's just Vince Carter, 2000, at Oracle. Back then, it might have been just Oakland Arena. That was the sickest one of all time. And all of Jay Rich's ones, when you watch them, you're still in awe. No one's dunking the way Jay Rich was doing. And here we go, 510, J.R. Ryder, Alameda legend. He was doing the East Bay Funk dunk in high school at Encinal. Absolutely. And yes, Dame is a little sore. The Warriors didn't draft him. Can you blame him? Can you blame him? I mean, can you blame him? If you had to choose between the two, who you guys getting rid of? Dame Lillard or McCollum? Joe, who you got? Okay, what about you, Nash?
You move on from McCollum. I think it's easy, right?
I mean, if I'm them, how are they not in? How are they not in on the Anthony Davis sweepstakes? I mean, it's just somebody I'd be looking at.
Does anybody want to trade for that McCollum contract? Tier two guy on a big deal?
I mean,
Yusuf Nurkic is on a big deal.
Nurkic, speaking of Nurkic, is a
Enes
solid Kanter's player.
Enes there now?
Enes Kanter. Was the all I hate Kevin Durant team?
Hey, but they got Enes Kanter, guys, so it's all good.
That guy. That guy's got better handles on Twitter than he does in real life in the NBA. That guy is unbelievable. Cannot stand that guy. And Clay should still be in there. Like, we don't need Joe Harris. Come on. Come on. If Joe Harris was walking down Market Street, no one would know who he is. Even Chris Middleton, who I like from the Bucks, come on. Him over Clay? Like, make room for all these guys. Kemba makes sense. He's a Hornet guy. You know, he's local. Seth and Steph, Devin Booker, he deserves to be their defending champ. Danny Green, hey, he's a champion. I can't stand the guy. The guy hits clutch threes. I cannot stand him, but he's a great defender. He gets under team skin. If he was on my team, I'd love him. He's kind of Draymond Light on the perimeter. In the way he just gets under people's skin. Buddy Hield could be a dark horse. And the Kings, who we're going to talk to my man KC up in Sac, the Kings want to play the Warriors 1-8. And right now I am rooting for them to take that 8 seed so LeBron doesn't get it. Before we go to a break, let's go to Chuck in Sacramento. Chuck, step right up, no waiting. What do you got?
Right on, man. Thanks for taking me. You're killing me, dude. You're busting me up here with the Depression-era Warriors comment. Because you want me to go topper on you? Because you're giving me an era from, what, 97 to 2011?
Yeah,
right?
Give it to
but
me.
I can go topper on you already because I actually grew up in the East Bay following the Warriors starting in the late 70s, Rick Barry's last year. And I got in the first year of 10 years straight where they did not make the playoffs. I don't even know if you're aware of that era.
Yeah, Joe barely cares.
Okay. Yeah, there's other bad stuff going on, but not make the playoffs. There's 4 years during that era where they missed the playoffs by one game.
Huh.
Right?
Huh.
And then we're talking the first year I started following them, and there's a couple years in the early 80s where they missed making the playoffs. So, and then they come along Greg Papa's first year doing Warrior basketball.
The George Karl era?
Make the playoffs. Yeah, George Karl, exactly. So there's actually a worse era. So not only did they only make the playoffs one year out of the first 11 I was following them, but then there's that horrible era that came along that you're talking about from the late 90s through the early 2000s or so, where they were as awful as they were. So I was in for like a lot of that misery. So I think as a fan, I earned the right to enjoy this dominance.
Yes.
I sat back and watched misery and brutality on the senses. And for them to be playing like this now, I think a guy like me has earned it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Stick your chest out, Chuck. And I feel like the big domino was when Chris Webber and Don Nelson tore the whole thing up over some Billy Owens, Mitch Richmond trades. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Nash, you got some sound for me for Love and Hate?
Baby, the love and the underdogs on top.
Woo-hoo! On 95.7 The Game, stay tuned. I'm doing my Love and Hate, what I loved and what I hated from the first two-thirds of this season for the Golden State Warriors, your back-to-back NBA champs. It's 95.7 The Game.